Hello and welcome to the next in the series of RCN podcasts. Today, we're working with the Association for British Paediatric Nurses. And today's podcast is called Why Every Nurse Can Learn from Palliative Care. In the discussion will be Anna Gill, who's a patient carer, Katrina McNamara, who is Head of Policy and Practice at ACT, and Rachel Cook, a bereavement service manager at the Great Ormond Street Hospital and also chair of the RCN's Children's Palliative Group. Today's discussion will highlight the small but important world of children's palliative care. And so I'll now hand you over to Anna Gill, who'll be leading the discussion.
I know why I'm here. I'm in this world because I wasn't given any choice. I'm here because of nature, and I'm the parent carer of a young man who's now 20, who's got a metabolic condition, a degenerative metabolic condition. When he was three, we were told that he wouldn't survive, and he's certainly gone long beyond what everybody expected. But I'm intrigued as to how my colleagues here became involved in the world of children's palliative care. So I'll ask Katrina.
I think, looking back to starting nursing, that children's palliative care has probably been a thread that has run throughout sort of working as a student nurse, working as a qualified nurse in the community, and then moving to the Department of Health, and probably a more organised sort of move to children's palliative care when I was working at the Department of Health in England as we developed the National Service Framework for Children, and working closely with Anne Goldman, who I regard as one of the founders of modern children's palliative care. At that time, she said that if we could get it right for children's palliative care, then we'd get it right for all children's care. And I think that's quite right, because we're actually looking at child-centred, family-focused care that runs right from diagnosis through to the child's death and then into the bereavement phase and beyond.
Thank you. And Rachel, your journey.
Mine began really with personal loss. Experiencing personal loss made me really think about nursing. And I went into nursing, and it was while nursing a child who was dying. I noticed that some other nurses on the unit didn't like to work with this child, but I was quite happy. It was just the thoughts of giving total 24-hour care, a full care package on a one-to-one, which was a great privilege. And then I went on to work in Hem-Onc, Haematology and Oncology at Bristol Children's. And that sort of gave me a really insight into a different type of disease and a different type of pattern of palliative care. And then I worked overseas with the AIDS Project and had to come face to face with a lot of death and dying with AIDS children. And I think it was great that I had a children's qualification, nursing qualification, that equipped me, enabled me to go out and do that.
That chimes with me, that as a student nurse, we had a young man on the ward that was expected to die before too long, really. He was quite well at that time. And it was another qualified nurse on the ward who actually noticed that I was not getting involved with his care and challenged me about that. And I think I was quite lucky to be able to say at an early stage of my career, I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to say to a young man who was probably not that much younger than me, who was going to die soon. I hadn't got the skills, or I didn't feel I had the skills. And it was Bob who actually opened that up to be able to say how to use those skills, how to use just normal conversation, just to treat that dying young man as an ordinary person.
I think for me it was quite different. It's interesting because I trained in the mid-70s where children's palliative care wasn't really a concept. And even though I worked on children's wards several times over the years, I don't ever remember meeting children that were in need of what was now deemed as palliative care. So I think perhaps it would be nice for you to define what you think children's palliative care is, and why is it so different from adults that lots of us know more about?
I think, to start with, we're quite a small world in children's palliative care. We're looking at about 25,000 children and young people who are affected, so within the UK, affected with life-limiting or life-threatening conditions that require palliative care. And we're looking at far larger numbers of adults. And I think, again, that the adult palliative care world focus mainly on cancer. They are moving more broadly, whereas children's palliative care started off broadly. We started off with all of the conditions that we deem to shorten a child's life, for them to die before adulthood.
Well, I'd just like to add to that. One of the other things is the trajectory of death at the end is quite different often than end-of-life care than in adults. It's not as predictable, like you said, the majority is the cancer within adults, and that's why other care pathways like the Liverpool care pathway works well, because it's 2 weeks focused. We can get to the end of a 2 weeks where we think that child might have died within and they're still alive, and it is that different up and down, or a slow slope of death. These children are quite different than adults presenting at the end of life.
And you're both specialists. And I think sometimes it sounds quite scary to somebody that thinking they might like to go into this field. So I thought it would be quite interesting to look at what are the qualities, the inner qualities that are so important to us as families that you would want all nurses to have. And I think children's palliative care just really, really uses those and pulls on them. So if I kick off with what I think I really value and then see how you think it fits in. I've been talking recently about nurse training and very, very young students. I can tell, as a parent, you can tell very, very quickly, within a few minutes, whether you're really going to want to trust your very precious child with somebody. It's an empathy, it's a warmth, it's a sense of caring. You just know instinctively. You meet new people in your child's life, they come in and out fast. And so I don't think, personally, the skills are incredibly important, of course they are, and the training will come on to that, but it's the inner ability to care and share your caring and your caring nature that I think is absolutely core. And I think most nurses would be very proud to have that and just transfer it across.
I certainly agree with the empathy. And that is a sort of an inner strength. And I think that's the other thing for me. There's a resilience there that some individuals seem to have naturally. But I still think that the training that we give can help, because I think part of it, from a student's perspective, it's perhaps the nurses working within the services recognising those innate traits and building up that resilience and taking away the fear of dealing with death and dying, because we don't do that in community. In the UK today, we don't talk about the death and dying of anyone, let alone the death and dying of a child, which I think has far more emotion and an emotive response to it. So for me, there are the innate traits, but we can actually build on those, and we can actually enable people to cope with the difficult parts of palliative care that they fear they won't be able to. But I do think that means that we need a mixture of people throughout the whole service, not just in children's palliative care services, but out there in the general services, in the GP practices, wherever your child is going to be.
And schools.
Yeah. Schools and universities.
So important. Yes, I think it's what I meant was really that I don't want people to be scared of that they haven't got the ability to care for our children, because all good nurses who want to look after children will be able to look after, with all the right support and training, children who are dying, and our children are no different. They're first and foremost children.
And I think that's key, Anna, that it is, we're talking about generic children's nursing, whether it be school nurse, like you said, or in the community, that they have the basic care and empathy to deliver. But one of the key things is that they need to be supported by nurses who have an understanding of specialist palliative care. That's a broader picture around the symptom control. But actually, I think two of the key assets for nurses is communication and being able to listen to the families and the young people and the children. I think often we are very busy in day-to-day lives and we don't sit down and listen to where they're at and what's going on for them. We often talk about and refer to a journey, and it is that we journey with those families. But like you say, we come in and come out in the various roles for the family. They see so many different types of nurses. And that, I suppose, like you've said, the key is empathy.
Another question, I suppose, that comes up a lot with families is, how do you look after yourselves? We need you to share this journey with us without it becoming a burden, but really, really value nurses that show that they care. It's amazing how much we do. And then I know when nurses come to children's funerals, the families really, really value that. But you can't spend the rest of your professional life going to children's funerals. So how do you look after yourselves?
I think that you've got two areas of responsibility. One is that personal responsibility to recognise that you do need support, you need that opportunity to reflect on your feelings as well as what you've done, the clinical aspects of that. So I think finding that sort of opportunity for reflection, recognising your own needs. So I think there's that real personal responsibility to have a self-awareness and to sometimes recognise that dealing with children who are dying, whether it's at the start of their journey or at the end of their journey, it's just not the right place for you at that time in your own personal life. So I think for me it's about personal awareness and responsibility, but then from a service perspective to actually have that ability to provide the wide range of support that's needed. So it's not one size fits all supervision. It actually is a variety of different options to be able to find the support you need to be able to carry on.
Two of the key things that we do advise is that within the first 20, 48 hours of the child's death and you've been involved with that child, is that with your colleagues, you do an emotional debrief, that you just talk to somebody where you're at. And it might not be your style to talk to somebody, but it's key that you don't suppress lots of feelings. And more after a child's died, it takes a bit of a while to reflect on the whole practice, like Katrina was mentioning. And I think that's key, that you have a debrief as a team at a later date to go through all the what worked well, what didn't, and how the bereavement and ongoing support of the families and who's taken that responsibility.
And how would you sum up all the joys and the pride? And I've heard you both talk about it in the past, but how do you sum up? What are the great things that the families and the children bring to your jobs?
I think the privilege of being able to share such a precious time with them. And I think that might sound quite trite, really.
No, it's true.
But I think it is recognising the privilege and not just taking at it as a task to be done. I think it is actually recognising the sharing that you're doing, recognising that you're sharing that child's life and their achievements. So I think it's important that we actually recognise that these are children and young people who live their own lives and have the most normal of achievements, and we are privileged to share with that.
It is a privilege to actually be with them in the highs and the lows. It's like any relationship, and I think that's key, that we enable families to gather memories and to work with them. And it is that shortness of the life, whether they're going to live into teenagehood or young adulthood, or whether it's just a baby that they've got a few hours with. And I think that's key, that whatever range in that aspect is, that we can actually be with them. We don't always have the answers, but one of the key things is that a lot of the family's feedback is that you were there, that somebody was there that understood. Because we referred earlier to society not understanding about death, especially death of children. And I guess what I want to get across today as well, palliative care is not all about death and dying.
Indeed.
It's about living. And I think that's key, that we help the young people to live to their fullest.
I mean, I can tell you about nurses that have been on to pop concerts with a load of lads with muscular dystrophy and have been to all sorts of things and have taken young people off to all sorts of exciting things, and nightclubs for 13 and 14 year olds that have been special needs. Because an awful lot of the young people we're talking about 60% are disabled. And I think one of the things that is quite challenging is their disability and their illness and all their care, their drug regimes, their feeding regimes and things become second nature to us as parents. So what becomes norm to us, we kind of go out everywhere and expect other people to have those skills. So there's quite a lot of very complex children coming through. So I think we need to look at how we're going to develop the nursing skills of the future and of training for those that can meet these children's needs.
I think it's the very complexity of the children that makes it quite difficult to prepare the nurses. And I think that's why I like the nurses who are constantly wanting to learn how and why, and not being afraid to ask how and why, not wanting to be seen as the expert, but to actually become that expert. And we do that by working so closely with the families. And I think palliative care is truly the one area of family-focused care where it really does work, because of the uncertainties, because of the length of time that you're actually spending with families. you need to work alongside the experts who are the parents and not just the disease specific experts that we so often see in the rest of sort of care today. It's very much that holistic approach. So the broad range of skills, I think that's why probably we do get so many nurses from so many different backgrounds coming in. So they may have spent time in intensive care, they may have spent time in community work, they may have spent time on general medical or surgical wards, but they all can come into the world of children's palliative care and bring something with them, because they're bringing that expertise of being able to deal with individuals. And that, to me, that innate ability to get down to the level of whoever you're working with is key.
I think the difference is between working with parts of your child and bits of your child and working with your whole child.
And I think that is key. One of the student nurses that we had to come and work within the Community Children's Dialysis Service palliative care team said that out of all her training, she loved the palliative care side because it was holistic and wasn't disease focused.
I think I like the idea of nurses from other areas coming into palliative care. For me, from a very personal side, is those with experience of learning disability, because so many of our young people have got learning disability. Those was disease specific, talking about cystic fibrosis nurses, diabetes nurses, epilepsy specialist nurses, who might not see themselves actually as palliative nurses, but a lot of the children we're looking after or talking about have got those conditions. But for me particularly, learning disability and increasingly the mental health and the CAMHS services and people that are working within those services, so that we all work together. I thought it might be useful if I kind of perhaps highlight in Jamie's life where nurses have been particularly involved. Obviously in the early days he was often very, very poorly, he was often rushed into hospital. He has epilepsy and diabetes as part of his package, and it was very much nursing-led care. The doctor would put in the IV, but the nurses would then support me through all the scary times, help us come home, would help us in the community manage his diabetes and understand and face what we were going to have. It was a palliative care nurse, an experienced palliative care nurse, that first broached the idea of going to a hospice. And this didn't mean that he's 3.5 and he's going to be dead within a year. This was the team with the skills that could give me short breaks that nobody else could. We then got through a nice steady phase. He then there were nurses involved when he was doing really not at all well, and we had to have an end of life care planning meeting. And there was one nurse I will always remember who was a children's community nurse lead, who came to an end of life care planning meeting with us. But she said, "I'll meet you before. I'll stay with you all the way through the meeting and we'll go for coffee afterwards." She then wrote the plan with me, shared it, and I felt very, very involved. And now as he's getting older, it's specialist palliative care nurses that are helping us look at assessing him through the Mental Capacity Act and helping him make decisions as best he can and helping me learn to let go and let somebody else make those decisions. So I think nursing care has been pivotal in different ways all the way through.
That takes, as a nurse, quite a lot of confidence to be able to recognise that the parents do know best and also need support. And I think that's where sometimes that we have an artificial division between adult services and children's services and a recognition of different sort of parenting roles within those two services. So for me, it's about maintaining that continuity and making sure that not only Jamie, but his family would have the care that and the support that they need in his ever-changing care needs.
And I think the one word that sums that up in terms of relationship between us and the nurses is trust. Because I've had long relationships with these people, we trust. I can trust in their judgment that they will make decisions that are right on his behalf but take into account. But also, you can get, I think what I'm trying to say is that you can actually begin to have a really strong bond and trust somebody very, very quickly. It doesn't necessarily take a long time. And those are the sort of skills that we are talking about.
Yeah, one of the key things is with a lot of the parents that work with, some of the nurses and medical staff are nervous of talking about choices around end-of-life care. And sometimes it is taken out of the hands of the families. The medical disease pattern just changes. And the child is all of a sudden taking a dip and dies. But it's really key that families have follow-up, because It is a minefield. They've lost something so precious to them. It is a minefield for them to work through the bereavement and the grief and just the practicalities. So I think that's key, that you know, nurses can help with that in the bereavement follow-up, and giving the families the right information and pacing it at the right time. And I think some of the attributes and skills that we look for in nurses in bereavement is pacing. We're just taking your time and not rushing a lot of information, and memory collecting at the end. So handprints, footprints, lock of hair, but giving the families choice to wash the child and things like that, and not to be frightened, but to support, the, you know, as a nurse, to support the parents and families' choices even at the end. Ideally, it's great to have planning before that happens, so you're giving the families an idea of what will happen and preparing them. We've done lots of surveys and audits of bereaved parents, and one of the key things is they prefer and would like choice.
Do you think, Rachel, though, that the grief and loss that parents experience at the beginning of their child's journey, so when they're diagnosed, do you think we actually offer enough sort of psychosocial support then to lead into bereavement? Because that grief and loss is almost, I mean, it is very similar to the bereavement support that families need later on. Is it something that we tend to do just at the end when we should be offering support
throughout? It's interesting, Anna was talking about attributes of nurses, and it is variable because it's about life's experiences the nurses have had themselves, whether they feel equipped to have those conversations with families. A lot of nurses will divert from having those conversations because it's too painful. They don't feel that they have the psychology mumbo jumbo to talk. And I think we've got to demystify that it is normal conversation that the families want. And if you don't have the answers, then you will go away and find the answers for them. I think that's key, that they just want normal conversations. It's not special therapy that the families need around grief and dying, and they're just plain practical questions that they have.
I think also that's very important, because if there's somebody you know and trust and like instinctively, they're the people that you as a parent or a patient will start to broach the subject with. And what you don't want to do is pluck up courage to try and start this conversation with somebody that then freezes and runs out of the room. So I'd far rather, I'm sure everybody would far rather an honest, I don't really know, that's not my field, but I will find somebody to talk to you. And certainly, as far as young people are concerned, while you are involved in intimate care and bathing and dressing, that is the time when we all know that most young people will start to try and introduce this conversation, because it's a safe, secure time, and anybody can find themselves in that position.
I think one of the key things for children's nurses is that they understand the cognitive levels, behaviour of children and young people, and their understanding of loss and attachment and grief. Because talking to a 3-year-old is going to be different than talking to an 18-year-old. And how to jump in and out, how children talk through play. You know, the 6 and 9-year-olds who are very concrete in their ideas around death and dying, and how to be very factual with the siblings is key of who have lost their brothers and sisters in support that we give. So it's having that understanding.
I think it's a huge, it sounds like a huge challenge, but I think we've also narrowed it down that the qualities and skills that we really value are threaded through nursing throughout. I think it's been a really, really useful conversation, and hope it helped people think more about children's palliative care. I'd really like to thank Katrina and Rachel for your time, and thank for listeners for tuning in to us.